So who cares if it's Friday the 13th?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. It's the Morning Open. That's when we check out the economy as trading gets started for the day. We're going to jump right in and ask, where's Wall Street? Yeah, some lucky business going on Wall Street right now. The S&P up about 0.2%, NASDAQ about 0.25%, and the Dow up about 28 points at 10,226. Asian and European markets were mixed today. I'm joined by Mark Vittner, Managing Director and Senior Economist at Wells Fargo Securities. He's with us live this morning from Charlotte, North Carolina. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Mark. The Commerce Department says the trade deficit shot up more than 18% in September, the biggest deficit, $36.5 billion since January. This has a lot to do with the weakness of the dollar, right? I mean, can President Obama's trip to Asia be constructive relative to the currency?
Well, actually, the widening of the trade deficit was sort of absent the weakness in the dollar because we, in real terms, the volume of goods being imported picked up quite a bit. And part of that's just the cash for clunkers, clearing out inventories, and we're importing more vehicles. We sold a lot of Toyotas, the cash for clunkers, and so now we have to replace them. And we've also seen car production pick up, and we import a lot of parts from Canada. So that accounted for a good part of the widening in the trade gap. But you know, longer term, the weaker dollar should produce a boost in exports, and with an improving global economy, that should give us a little bit of a boost.
I want to talk just briefly about Jamie Dimon, the CEO at J.P. Morgan Chase, who talked this morning in an op-ed piece about the too big to fail scenario. Interesting comments. He says that banks, big corporations, should have to perform to survive.
Well, he's right on the money there. I mean, there's no doubt that institutions should not be too big to fail. But he also makes a number of good points that we shouldn't be against big banks just because they're big. I mean, there are a lot of advantages to having large financial institutions, and they're absolutely essential in order for a banking system to compete in the global economy.
Mark Vittner, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's not by much, but the Eurozone is officially done with its sharpest recession in at least six decades. The economy grew there by 0.4% in the third quarter.
One of the things that is working is the export sector. French exports are strong, German exports are strong. But unfortunately, this is threatened by the strength of the euro, particularly the strength of the euro against the dollar.
British economist Andrew Hilton says part of it is overseas demand for European goods. It's one of the biggest aviation deals in history. British Airways and Spain's Iberia are getting together to make the world's third largest airline, BA CEO Willie Walsh.
This is about taking the best out of both and creating a new group of airlines that can compete on a truly global scale. And I think it's very important that British Airways is part of a development like that.
There is, however, the matter of British Airways' pension fund and its $4 billion deficit. If it's not fixed, Iberia says it'll back out of the deal.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SunGard. 7 million K-12 students are enrolled in school districts that use software from SunGard Public Sector. More information at sunguard.com. American Public Media presents Workplace U, an American Radio Works documentary supported by the University of Virginia's Batten Institute. More at americanradioworks.org.
We talk a lot on this show about rising unemployment. Small businesses are cutting jobs at a higher rate than their big business brethren. Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich is with us to talk about the plight of the small business and whether there's any help in the offing. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Steve.
Now, why are small businesses still cutting so many jobs?
First of all, their sales are still very weak. After all, consumers don't have much money, and they're scared of losing their jobs. Most small businesses aren't big exporters, in addition, so they're not benefiting from recoveries abroad. And in addition, many are finding it difficult to get loans. They have little or no collateral, and the smaller regional banks they deal with are carrying a lot of bad mortgage debt and are reluctant to lend.
So will health care reform help them?
It's going to help those who already provide their workers with health insurance. These costs have been skyrocketing for small businesses faster than they have for large businesses because the big businesses have more bargaining clout with providers and insurance companies. The so-called insurance exchanges that are now built into the House and Senate bills would let small businesses pool their bargaining power to get better deals. And in addition, Steve, the House bill would pay up to half the cost of premiums, depending on workers' average wages and how small the business is. And the Senate bill gives small businesses tax credits up to $1,000 per employee. So there are some real bennies in these bills for small businesses.
But I got to ask you, Bob, I mean, what about the small businesses that don't now give their workers health insurance? I mean, won't they be required to do that?
Well, they would under the House bill, or they'd have to pay a penalty. But that bill exempts small businesses with payrolls under $500,000 a year, which would mean essentially that most of your mom and pop operations wouldn't have to worry about a thing. They would not be required to provide health insurance.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich and current professor of public policy at the University of California. Bob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Policymakers next week will descend on Rome for the World Summit on Food Security. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports on a new book that features solutions, some obvious, some overlooked, in fighting hunger.
The book's called Millions Fed, Proven Successes in Agricultural Development. It's about practices that work on a large scale to boost productivity on the farm. Co-editor David Spielman says one way to improve crop yields is to invest in high-tech seeds that resist drought and disease.
Greater production can also result in lower food prices, and that can have a very significant impact on poverty.
Old-fashioned infrastructure projects can also help. During the 1980s and 90s, building roads and irrigation systems were low on the priority list for poor countries and international donors. Spielman says that's changing.
After about two decades of neglect, decision makers are recognizing the central importance of agriculture for development.
Spielman hopes the book will serve as a roadmap. Now all decision makers need to do is come up with the money to follow it. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Hey, share your thoughts with us. Marketplace.org. Our online host and blogger, Scott Jagow, is there, and the scratch pad there as well. Marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.